So we are here as a coalition beginning this effort to ensure that we restore justice to the Supreme Court. This is an incredible moment as we introduce the Judiciary Act of 2021. We are here today because the United States Supreme Court is broken. It is out of balance, and it needs to be fixed. Too many Americans view our highest court in the land as a partisan political institution, not our impartial judicial branch of government. Too many Americans have lost faith in the court as a neutral arbiter of the most important constitutional and legal questions that arise in our judicial system. And I'm disappointed to say that too many Americans question the court's legitimacy. The consequence is that the rights of all Americans, but especially people of color, women, and our immigrant communities are at risk. The concerns the American people have about the high court are legitimate and they are well-founded. The court is broken. And make no mistake about it, the court is broken because leader Mitch McConnell, his Senate Republican colleagues, and Donald Trump broke it.
Oh, I'm going to need a minute. That was Ed Markey, who, first off, welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com is the website. Make sure you go and check it out. Sign up for the newsletter. This, what you heard him saying just moments ago, and they're continuing on with their press conference there in front of the Supreme Court. And I do think it's interesting that they're standing in front of a wall while they're saying expand the free court, the Supreme Court. This, I never, ever, never again want to hear a damn thing about rhetoric or Trump's tweets or anything else from any other lawmaker after this insurrectionist speech. Here's an insurrection right here in front of the Supreme Court. It's just done by people in suits. I mean every syllable, so quote me accurately, you rat bastards in the media. And quote me on that too, because I mean it. You all ran with the illegitimate definition of what is or is not court packing. See, there are times to be upset and there are times to not be. This is a time to be upset because you have every right to be. Our existence in the United States is going to be irrevocably changed, and you are going to break a republic because the Supreme Court is not a legislative body. They have a bicameral majority. There is no reason why they feel the need or should feel the need to pack the Supreme Court unless they're getting ready to do some seriously illegal, shady crap that they feel like they need the backing of the Supreme Court to secure. I'm not kidding you. I, in my life, have never heard this kind of talk from lawmakers before. Ever. So whether or not something like this passes, this could be kind of, you know, an Overton window sort of thing, but it doesn't even matter if it's an Overton window sort of thing because it still is. They actually said Kavanaugh. Yeah. Who is the woman who spoke before? She sounded like a teenager up there complaining on MySpace. Her language was completely unbefitting of an elected official, and I was embarrassed that she was a lawmaker up there. Listen to this. This one's garbage.
The Supreme Court derives its legitimacy from the trust that we all put into it. And that trust has been eroded thanks to a decades-long assault on our judiciary in general and the Supreme Court in particular. By corporate interests, conservative dark money groups, and the Republican enablers in Congress. The last 4 years especially showed just how little regard Republicans led by Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell have for an apolitical judiciary. Trump and McConnell confirmed hundreds of judges, including three Supreme Court justices, all of whom were handpicked because they are because of their loyalty not to the Constitution, but to conservative political outcomes. The only way forward now, the only way to build back trust in our courts and in the Supreme Court especially, is to add seats. Wow. So let me be clear. No one here today, no one standing behind me today, woke up this morning and thought, you know what might be fun? What if we added four seats to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, for no reason. I can't even hardly hear her anymore. She says Kavanaugh's hideously unqualified. He's more qualified than you. I don't think that someone who is less qualified and clearly less capable of articulating a substantive argument as to why they feel as though they should pack the Supreme Court beyond Trump has any ground criticizing someone who is so much more accomplished than they are. Chef's kiss. Goodness. This is just ridiculous. I mean, and Ed Markey up there and Jerry Nadler, who are up there saying what they're saying. I mean, and here, by the way, we also have this situation brewing in the Black Sea, which we're going to talk about, too. There's just a lot of disastrous stuff that seems to be happening today. So they keep going back to this whole situation with Merrick Garland, right? Merrick Garland was not, they keep going, stole seats. That is blue anon conspiracist garbage. And these people should be ridiculed six ways to Sunday because it's blue anon conspiracist garbage. That's exactly what it is. There was no seat stolen. Mitch McConnell doing his duty and filling an empty seat. Heaven forbid, that's what he's supposed to do. Merrick Garland, here's the rule about filling seats. They don't fill seats during a time of election when you have one party controlling the Senate and a different party controlling the White House. That is the unofficial rule and how it's always gone. That did not go down. That was not what happened in 2018. Just an FYI. Because you did not have that situation in the Senate and in the White House with Trump and Democrats. So this idea that somehow even the situations are the same is not true. So they keep saying, and let's start with this. The media running with this redefinition of court packing. This is what is insane to me. They're still so mad about Trump. And they're accusing him of packing the court because he replaced Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I understand the Democrats have a problem with conservative women, particularly when they're more accomplished than they are. I understand this. I meet it every single day. But the stuff that they were insinuating about Amy Coney Barrett's ridiculous. And so he did his duty. He filled the seat because he absolutely had every single right to. Remember when Biden would not at all say during the debate? He was asked three times by CNN's Don Lemon. He would not say at all during the debate whether or not he was going to pack the court. Wouldn't at all. But they ran with the definition of it. Oh, well, Trump packed the court because he just filled the seat that he was supposed to during when he had the debate. See, when they, in 2018, when all of this stuff happened, and you were looking at and going into the election, the midterm election, Republicans were running the Senate, Trump was in the White House. People who do not pay attention to Mitch McConnell, which we've read in full, and I've written about Six Ways to Sunday, the Biden rule even, whatever, they were talking about, and they actually said it specifically, opposite parties in Senate and White House. It's not my fault if their base does not want to educate themselves about what their own lawmakers actually said. By the way, remember the last time that they tried to do this, the Democrats tried to do this. This was right after they were interning Japanese Americans. FDR was trying to shove through his New Deal legislation. And he wanted to pack the Supreme Court. This was back in 1937. He wanted to pack the Supreme Court. He wanted to add six justices onto it so that he could shove his legislation through. Because he knew that what he was doing, he knew that his legislation was beyond the scope of his executive authority. And it was also beyond the scope of the Constitution. Big difference. No, this idea of packing the court, and they would say, well, Merrick Garland was denied his seat. Senate advises and consents. Democrats believe advise and consent means you must confirm. They don't owe any kind of confirmation to Democrats, and Democrats are still mad about that. Their whole policy is about grudges based on their power, which they feel was slighted. It has nothing. They don't give a rat's ass about the American people. Anyone, all y'all who voted for them, they don't care about you. When have you ever benefited from one of their policies? Ask yourself legitimately. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because I got health. Oh, because you got health care for the first time and everybody else pays for it. And we all had to go on crap health care and lose access to our specialist. Would you like me to rattle the names off of the specialist that my family lost access to because you got free entitled welfare health care at my expense? You want me to? Yeah, I'm a little aggravated today because it's tax day. This is the day where we also enshrine government theft. I feel like dumping tea in the harbor. So, yeah. No, they're still mad about Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland, he wasn't owed a confirmation. End of story. That's the end. Filling seats and doing it constitutionally, that's not packing the court. They didn't add any seats on. And that's what Democrats want to do. They want to add 4 seats on. Now, Joe Manchin said that he is not down for this. And I doubt Kristen Sinema is as well, although they haven't gone after her with as much zeal. Now, while all of this is happening, Russia has sent warships in. They have all this stuff happening in the Black Sea because they want to take over Ukraine. Now, this has been going back and forth since 2014. There is a seaport there in Ukraine, and the deal was that Russia would get to control the seaport, and they could, you know, just leave Ukraine, leave Crimea, and all that alone. Well, they're not listening. And so apparently Joe Biden was sending, we were sending some warships into the Black Sea, just 2. They have an entire fleet there. We were just sending two ships to monitor. And he's decided that he's not going to do it. And the worldwide headlines are Joe gets cold feet. This is a mess of foreign policy. It's an absolute mess. But hey, at least we don't have mean tweets, right? At least we don't have mean tweets. Aren't you so happy? I mean, I'm trying very hard not to just verbally cut people right now. But are you so happy? Are all of the people who are really Democrats that like prostitutes traded that Republican ID in the lower third so that they could get on cable news networks because no one was ever interested in their rehashed unoriginal opinions before, so they could get on and bash the previous administration about mean tweets while completely ignoring their, as a faux conservative, commitment to principles like lower taxation and pro-life and getting out of all these wars, et cetera, et cetera. How do they feel today? Because I see them on cable news less and less because they serve their purpose like the good political prostitutes that they are. And now I don't see them anymore. Maybe you guys can write another book that no one will read. We have a lot more to come. But I legitimately was shocked by this presser. And that's really hard to do. We're going to talk about how it isn't court packing and how your rights will be obliterated. I'm going to detail that for you. We're also get into some of the media malpractice and the latest with foreign policy because Russia just keeps expanding and it's getting tense with Ukraine. We're going to get into all of that and more.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
So even though the president said that they're going to be withdrawing everything from Afghanistan and the timeline is awkward and they're doing the 9/11 thing, which I'm fine with pulling troops out, and we should have a long time ago, but I don't understand why we're making a big deal out of the 9/11 anniversary for 20 years and I just think it's bad to put it on that. The administration is advancing the Trump-era sale of $23 billion in F-35s and armed drones to United Arab Emirates. And I'm kind of wondering if that isn't anything that wasn't maybe somehow related to Abraham Accords. You know, because UAE was the first to come on board and push for normalized relations. But it's 50 F-35 fighter jets, a dozen armed drones, billions of worth of munitions. That's if the deal receives final approval. And that's something that apparently that the administration is advancing at this point. Apparently, Matt Gaetz' iPhone was seized last winter. But for some reason, according to Business Insider, we're just now learning about this. That's kind of odd. How are we just now finding this out? They reportedly seized his phone. He's facing all these allegations. There isn't any evidence yet. There's more evidence against Andrew Cuomo than there is Matt Gaetz. But Cuomo, there's a body count with Andrew Cuomo, and he's still there. But they reportedly seized his phone, and he changed his number last year. And apparently they also took his girlfriend's phone. I guess that's his fiance now. That's insane. Why are we just learning about this? And following protest, an Illinois school will not be renamed for the Obamas because they're not woke enough. Not kidding, because there's just not. Stick with us. Court packing's bad.
The Biden administration keeps saying there's a challenge at the border, but not a crisis. If President Biden and Vice President Harris were willing to come down and see what I've seen, they would know it's a major crisis if they were willing to admit it. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest edition of The Sarah Carter Show, I'll give you the real story from my own reporting at the border, and I speak with Chris Cabrera of the National Border Patrol Council. Please join us. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Do you support Jerry Nadler's bill to expand the Supreme Court by 4 seats? And would you commit to bringing that bill to the floor?
No. I support the president's commission to study such a proposal. But frankly, I'm not. Right now, we're back. Our members, our committees are working. We're building the putting together the infrastructure bill and the rest. I don't know that that's a good idea or a bad idea.
Yeah. That was Nancy Pelosi when she was asked about whether or not she's going to support this legislation. It doesn't matter whether or not she supports it, honestly, at this point, because they can vote and pass this through committee, and then they'll go to war with her. Democrats are not moderates anymore. They're full on. They are the Marxist left. Just know this. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. They are the Marxist left. Any idea that there was any kind of moderate whatever left in this party should be just disregarded at this point. First, we're going to end the filibuster. We don't like it that we didn't get our way with things. I mean, they sound like petty kids that hold a grudge. That's what it sounds like. How are you right? So you're probably like, okay, so what the hell does it matter to me? I mean, if we pack the courts, well, here's how it's going to matter to you. You're going to have a third legislative body. That's how it will matter to you. Are you kidding me? His Jerry Nadler. I'm not going to say. Should I say what I call? Because I feel like sidebar. I feel like they invited me to be 2008, 2009 Dana.
Yeah, it's not anything I can stop. I don't think.
I really do feel like that was an invitation for me to revisit that.
I don't blame you.
Time. That's when I was in the streets, Dana.
I mean, this absurdity level
raising hell, Dana,
is unreal. It's an unbelievable level of absurdity. What we're
hearing. He gets up there and he's like, "Well, you know, what did he say?" We pull up his quote. It was 13 is a nice number. I mean, well, it's not a nice number, but it fits. If it fits, I sit. Don't know. I mean, this isn't packing the court. They pack the court. We're unpacking it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
He did not say
that. Oh, I swear to you he did. Google it. I swear to you he did. You can Google and play it right the hell now. I promise you he said that. I watched it while he said it. Wow. With his little mask on. Still, I mean, you're outside in the sunshine and you've been vaccinated. What the hell? You got your mask on out there. Listen to that. I told you he said it.
And some people will say we're packing the court. We're not packing it. We're unpacking it.
He did say it.
Yeah.
In what world do they add four seats and somehow they're unpacking the court?
Yes, honestly, this is all because they didn't win and they got mad. They got mad because of Trump's judicial agenda towards the latter half of his term. That's what they're mad about, and they want to undo it. They don't have enough progressive judges on the court, so they just want to make up some garbage to add them on there. That's what they want to do. Well, because FDR tried to do it, unsuccessfully, I might add, and he looked like a moron when he did it. This is just, it's oh my gosh. So how is it going to affect you? Well, you're going to have another legislative body, and the court will not, one of the reasons why you have nine as opposed to like 9,000 is because it's not its own, it is an independent arbiter. It is its own constitutional power. And this, doing this would make it almost kind of a non-entity. And then what's to say that there wouldn't be even more court packing? Well, we don't like it that you added four, so we're going to add four. And then she adds four, and he adds four, and it goes on and on and on. You would not have an independent judiciary. It would cease to exist. And ultimately, I think the separation of powers would at this point just be a veneer. I think about all of the stuff that's going to be coming towards the Supreme Court. Gun control. A couple of different gun control cases. Numerous things. This is designed, they're doing this because they don't like the fact that they can't control the Supreme Court. They want to nullify that. Because the Supreme Court right now, and I don't even like this, it's not supposed to be a check on Congress, but that's ultimately the only thing that kind of is right now. James Madison in Federalist 51 said that, "What is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and then next, and in the next place, oblige it to control itself." They were controlling the imperfections of humanity by creating the government to operate this way. Ambition hits ambition. One ambition controls the other ambition. That's how this works. There was a good piece over at the Federalist about Marbury v. Madison, and it discusses how the Supreme Court showed how an independent judiciary worked to preserve its power. The court struck down federal law and cemented for all time the idea of judicial review by an independent system of courts, and it's still one of the greatest limitations on Congress and the president. All right, both of those political branches are more powerful than the courts and either can exercise their powers in numerous ways. But the Constitution is the check on the government, and the judiciary provides this. It facilitates and helps to enable it to be a check on the government. If you continue to arbitrarily expand it and screw around, you're going to find out in the most horrific of ways. And you're going to remove that. Do you honestly think that judges are going to be prevailed upon to take cases knowing that if the outcome is disliked, that, I mean, sure, maybe their positions are lifetime appointments, but that doesn't mean that they can't just add more justices onto the court to negate the ones that are currently there. That's what they want to do. They know that they can't kick off Kavanaugh and Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett, so they want to nullify them with four progressives. That's what they want to do. That's how your rights are going to be affected. Now, in the meantime, Biden canceled the deployment of two U.S. warships from the Black Sea as the troop buildup in Ukraine continues with Russia. Washington announced the U-turn after the Kremlin warned D.C. to stay away for their own good. Apparently, there was also I guess they had a discussion, or they were going to have a discussion, something to that effect. I don't necessarily know if I agree, as much as I dislike this administration, with the narrative that the Kremlin told the administration to stay away and they turned tail and ran. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that, but something I don't know if they spoke or what, or I don't think it takes much to assure Biden. He seems to be kind of carrying out things in a half-assed sort of way. Can I just say it? I mean, really, there's not a lot of effort here. So a senior administration said, we have no desire to be in an escalating war with Russia. Then why the hell were you sending ships out there in the first place? The White House doesn't want things spinning out of control. Well, it seems like the White House is spinning out of control. If you have a president or an administration or anyone in Congress that doesn't want an escalation of conflict with Russia, then why were two U.S. warships headed to the Black Sea? And then they did an abrupt U-turn, turned around and went away. And then now that's like worldwide headlines. Did you people stop caring about optics now that you control everything and you're trying to solidify your power? Chimney. They put some sanctions on. They added the sanctions that Trump already had onto them. They said that they are not going to accept destabilizing behavior. And so they go, our sanctions have teeth. Yeah, that's never worked. They're still doing what they're doing. They already have sanctions on them. Go ahead and send them a mean letter, sternly worded letter. That'll do it. No, what Russia sees is that none of the allies that Ukraine has is going to, I'm not saying go off and get involved in conflict. And I'm not going to be lectured to by people about it either. If anyone is too damn stupid to understand that you can criticize the mess of foreign policy that the White House can't even actually administer, and then being War Inc., you're too damn stupid to listen to my show. Change the channel. We don't want you polluting and it could be catching. We don't want you harming everyone else. Go get your vaccinations for stupidity. Told you I was in a mood. But they said that, our moves are, our actions are tailored and proportional. Do you not see how ridiculous it is? Because they were, honestly, leading up to this, they were having some pretty stern words. Oh, well, he better not do that. Send two warships in, and then they legit turned around, and now they're going back. What the world? Maybe you shouldn't have sent them in the first place. Meanwhile, Ukraine, Russia's building up their, they claim they wanted to maintain control of their seaport because that was the deal from 2014. Leave Ukraine alone. Leave this other, just stop with this other stuff. Leave Crimea alone. You can keep control of your seaport. That seaport there in the Black Sea is very valuable. You can keep control of the seaport. But then that wasn't enough. And so they've kept going and going and going. So they have a whole fleet in the Black Sea. And it was Turkey that reported that two warships were going through. That's how we know. Because Turkey had reported that they had requested permission to pass. That's just, just like a formality. Woo. So there you have it. They've been wanting to take Ukraine too. And we'll continue following that. But I'm telling you, this is all just a big old hot mess. Big hot mess. And then you have that, because Biden had pitched a face-to-face meeting with Putin over Ukraine tensions. Not sure if that's going to take place. Meanwhile, you had riots again last night. Not a lot of coverage about it from the media. You had that again last night. Kamala Harris is going to Central America, but she's not going to our southern border. She's going to Central America because she wants to go and see what the cause is. You really got to go to Central America to see it? Because you don't know what the cause is. Remember all the stuff that she said about this during the debates? My gosh, she railed on this. She tried to get all emotional. I mean, they're keeping them in cages. Oh my gosh. Now it's okay because it's her policy. Are you shocked that it's her policy? This is a woman that jailed parents if their kids were truant. You kidding me? This is a woman who put more pot smokers in jail in California than anybody else. Good heavens. No, she's not even really addressed the border crisis. She hasn't taken a single question on the border. She hasn't had a presser about it. No, she's going to go to Central America and kind of, you know, look around and see. That's what she's going to do. No pressure from the media. In the meantime, as we deal with the issue of court packing and everything else, you have the Biden administration that is putting, they nominated as their a deputy attorney general for the Civil Rights Division. This woman who thinks that the amount of melanin that one has in their skin is directly proportional to this, the larger size of their brain. She's written some super horrific racist and anti-Semitic stuff. She has said some super racist and anti-Semitic stuff. And that's who Biden wants, this chick, who he wants her as the, for the, I know, for the Civil Rights Division. We're going to discuss that. We'll also discuss the latest with media. We got a lot to touch on still. You don't want to miss.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
On China, the administration's tough talk has been welcome. But its proposal to cut defense spending after inflation suggests there's less interest in walking the walk. We'll not keep pace with China and Russia by cutting defense spending to placate fringe parts of the far left.
Well, true. I mean, if there's one thing that we're allowed to spend cash money on, it's going to be that. Well, let's spend it on everything else. Can someone tell me what the hell happened in Australia? What happened here? I watched this video and I could not believe. So it was this, they were celebrating this battleship for the Australian Navy. And they bring out these chicks. And there were these like Australian politicians and these military officers. And, you know, they had like their suit, their uniforms and all this stuff on. They bring out these, like, and some of them are a little hefty, like the one in the front. Yeah. I'm just saying. Just shut up with the, don't be like body shaming with me. I'll shut you down. The hefty girl in booty pants in the front, and they were twerking and bouncing and, you know, doing everything else. You know, go twerk in the club, okay? But when you're at a battleship ceremony and you got like elderly veterans and politicians and, you know, it's like the same mood kind of as church in a way. Maybe don't be showing up in your booty shorts and your crop tops and be twerking in front of everybody. As I mean, they were in front of like the admiral and these generals and the chief of the defense force. And they organized, they stood in front of this ship and they twerked. Our video that we're showing on the simulcast didn't even show it all. They stood in front of a ship and they were twerking. As a, how does that celebrate whatever they were trying to do? I just don't know, Australia. I just don't know. There was an anonymous government attendee who told ABC, I can't even actually say the whole thing, quote, a question worth pondering, what would Horatio Nelson think of this blank show? Yeah. I mean, it is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. It is one of the crazy, I don't know what that, what was that about? I've never seen anything like that.
The internet named the boat Twerky McTwerkface, I think.
Twerky McTwerkface. And I just don't understand what the point of this was. They commissioned this ship and then this, you should, then there was another video where you can actually see the expression of these people. Oh my gosh. They did not know. They were just like, it was cringe. Cringe, cringe. So coming up, the Democrats start their insurrection. They're in suits and dresses, and the media thinks it's okay.
I have a great deal of respect for the judicial branch, the third co-equal branch of government, and the independence of the court is critical. Most folks assume that the Constitution mandates the number of justices on the Supreme Court must be 9, but nowhere in the Constitution is it written just how many justices should sit on the Supreme Court. I would submit that the reason why the framers did not enumerate how large the court should be is because they envisioned that the legislative branch
would need to have flexibility in tending to the court's operations from time to time. So the Constitution does not require that there be a 9 justices sitting on the Supreme Court. The fact is that Congress has changed the size of the Supreme Court 7 times over the course of the nation's history. The first time, in fact,
this is Hank Johnson, the guy who thought Guam was going to fall over.
The Constitution was ratified when the presidency and Congress were still governed by our country's founding generation. The real outlier is the fact that the court hasn't changed while the rest of the federal government has grown, keeping pace with the growth of the nation.
Wow. This guy. Yeah, he did that. He did think that Guam was going to tip over at one particular point. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. Lots of stuff that we're going to be discussing, and I'll have some info on all of this in there for you. Because filling a vacancy, by the way, is not, it's not court packing, just FYI. It's just really not court packing. And I realize that the media has been wanting to help Democrats redefine it like that, and that's just not how that works, because it's not court packing. This is also a very dangerous game that Democrats are going to play. Now, I don't know if it has the support in the House. I know it doesn't in the Senate. But whether or not it has support in the House, all of that to me is kind of almost irrelevant at this point, because when you introduce something that's so awful, a bill like this, it's again, it's like the Overton window that I was talking about. When you introduce something this bad, the point is to shock everyone and to unsettle them with the idea of this reality and then assuage their fears with something that is less outrageous. And I honestly, I think that's what they're trying to do here. So either way, it's bad. I mean, when you consider all of the stuff that's going to be coming up, I mean, this is, you're turning it into a legislative body that is no longer going to be the facilitator for the very thing that helps to check government, which is the Constitution. And by the way, the New York Times, a New York Times poll, there's a lot of polling on this there. People are firmly against it. Over half the country is against this. But it doesn't matter with Democrats. This New York Times poll, let me pull this up. I got a lot of stuff here for you. Let me pull this up. Majority of Americans oppose court packing, according to new poll. It's a New York Times Siena poll. In fact, 58% of the people who opposed it were Democrats. 58% of Democrats. Even more so, 70-something of Republicans. That's kind of crazy to have that many, you know. People do not support this, and for good measure. So here's the thing. When you look at the judiciary, keeping the judiciary independent is paramount, because this is what protects, it's able to be independent because this is what's protecting federal judges. This is what is protecting the judiciary from interference. This is why it's so unbelievably important. It's why they have lifetime appointments, Article 3. It's so important. That's why. For good reason. When you talk about expanding the court the way they want to because they want to achieve a certain outcome. This is the party that has a bicameral majority. They control Washington. If they're unable to get their agenda passed while being the majority power, to expand the Supreme Court signals to me that this is less about fairness, because it's not at all about fairness. And it's more about they're getting ready to do some super shady stuff, and they want to be able to knock out that check and balance on their ability to do that. That's what they want. I mean, it really is an absolute hit on the separation of powers. It turns the court into, like I said, a legislative body. I mentioned back in 1937 when FDR was trying to do this, he wanted to ram the New Deal through. He wanted to add a bunch of these justices, and he And the Senate Judiciary Committee at the time, they completely kicked his butt to the curb with this idea. And they said no. They said it was a, quote, abandonment of constitutional principle and an invasion of judicial power. What did Hugo Chavez do in 2004 as he was consolidating his power? Anybody want to take a guess? Oh, he packed the court. Yeah. Venezuelan President Chavez, he added justices to the Supreme Court so as to consolidate all his power. Huh. Interesting, right? Do you know why you need to say court packing instead of expanding the court? Because, I mean, in a way you are expanding the court, but do you know why? You know where the packing phrase comes from? Because you're packing it with like-minded ideologues so that you can achieve a certain outcome. If they were going to be fair with this, they would give Republicans two picks. And they're, I mean, actually, this is still BS. But if they wanted to be fair, they would let Republicans choose two and they would have two. Are they doing that? No. No, they're not. They're going the Chavez route. This is all about political gain. That's what this is. They want to influence the outcome of certain decisions. And so they're going to completely pack the court. And they're going to give politicians massive, massive influence over the courts. Because that's what this does. It absolutely does. You are giving politicians a massive, massive bit of control over the courts. Yeah, I mean, and you're going to make Roberts, I think, even wobblier. Is that a word? Yeah. And when you are looking to nominate justices that only share your ideology, oh, hail, H-A-I-L, yes, that is packing, because you're packing it with your ideology. Nancy Pelosi kept incorrectly calling what Trump was doing packing. He was filling vacant seats, as was his within his authority per the Constitution. They called it packing because they weren't in a position to influence the nominee. They were the minority party. And so that is why they called it packing. You heard Ed Markey this morning make one of the most dangerous speeches that I've ever heard made by a lawmaker. And he said that it was an illegitimate Supreme Court. That was his exact phrase. He said that it was an illegitimate Supreme Court. And he thinks it's an illegitimate Supreme Court because it was Trump who was able to choose the justices sitting on the bench and not Democrats. If Democrats don't win, anytime they don't win, the outcome is considered illegitimate to them. If Democrats don't win, anytime they don't win, it is considered a stolen victory from them. Every single time Democrats don't win, if they don't win, it is considered to be the result of corruption or Russia or something, as opposed to people just not wanting them. They had an opportunity today to try to persuade you to see their side. I listened with good intentions. A gesture of goodwill, and you got Ed Markey gets up there and he immediately starts out with, this is illegitimate. It's not illegitimate when a sitting president exercises his constitutional authority and is filling a vacancy. And they're clinging to this not actual law, it was just a courtesy, where they observed that they will not fill an empty vacancy if you have one party running the Senate and another party in the White House. Well, as a newsflash to everyone, going into 2018, that's not what the situation was. And they're mad over that. You had Republicans running the Senate and the White House. You did not have a situation where you had Democrats running the Senate and a Republican in the White House. That is what would have been uprooting the norm, is demand that when they controlled the Senate and the White House, that they don't do anything. That's what would have been uprooting the norm. This is Ed Markey. Listen to this irresponsible and dangerous insurrectionist talk.
The court to fill the seat held by the late, great Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So much for letting the people weigh in. As a result, we have a stilted, illegitimate 6-3 conservative majority on the court that has caused this crisis of confidence in our country.
Wow. Just wow.
And by the way, with the Senate confirmation, that is the people weighing in.
Yeah. Well, no, that is the, that exactly. That is them weighing in. These people are ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. We're going to talk more about this too here coming up, because this is, it's, it is very important that you reject the propaganda on this. Like when they say, oh, well, they politicized the court when you had when Merrick Garland was not confirmed, because the Senate advises and consents. There's no confirmation guaranteed. You're confusing the entire process of selection with the role of the judiciary. Learn how your government works. I mean, that's scary. That's a scary thing. They're doing this because of petty grievances. Good heavens. We're going to talk more about it. Also coming up, let me pull up my thing here. We have, I actually like this. ACU is doing something very interesting. They're launching a pressure campaign to go after woke corporations. I said that it didn't work. Patriot Mobile is a longtime supporter of my show, helping to bring you free conservative radio. This year, Patriot Mobile is bringing even more to my loyal listeners with expanded wireless coverage. If you've contacted Patriot Mobile before and they didn't have the coverage you wanted, I urge you to call now. Their expanded coverage also comes with even lower pricing options. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, you get the broadest coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks with a company you can trust. Patriot Mobile gives back a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations in which you believe. Call now and receive Patriot Mobile's premier activation at no additional charge. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for premier activation and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, their plans, your freedom.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, 25% of reported UK coronavirus deaths were apparently not at all actually related to coronavirus. I know you're very shocked about this. You're so shocked, you just don't even know what to do, do you? I know. But no, apparently, I mean, that's what the story is. And this whole thing, too, it actually could be kind of low. I mean, I think it does seem a little low, I will say. But they said that 25% of these were actually not at all related to that. I mean, motorcycle deaths in Florida were apparently related to, they were saying that they were coronavirus deaths. If you had a motorcycle accident, this is just ridiculous. It's crazy. Let's see. They're trying to argue that forgiving $50,000 in student loan debt would free $36 million from student loan debt. Okay, well, it adds all debt to everyone else, which is why. If I'm going to be forced to co-sign on your loan, I'm going to be involved in your life and I'm going to boss you around and I think that we all should be accountable then for we all should know about your grades and you forfeit any privacy at all whatsoever. I mean, really, honestly, I think so. I want to know what's going on. The IRS chief says that $1 trillion in taxes may go uncollected each year because, you know, today's our National Day of Theft. Although it has been delayed, it's still theft. You're still paying tax for the entire year over which you were forced to stay inside your home and not receive all of the government services due to you for the money that was stolen from you. It's such a just an awful investment. Oh, I'll say it again. Abolish the IRS. Also, Mitt Romney and Kristen Sinema are teaming up on a non-conservative bill where they want to increase the minimum wage. Senate Democrats have been struggling, so Romney and Sinema. I don't dislike Sinema. I do dislike Romney. And it is personal. Sidebar, it is personal, because this is a guy who tried to make it difficult for me at CNN when I criticized him. And he demanded that I be on with a Romney surrogate every single time I was on television because I was so effective at criticizing him. So he can go pound sand with his fake, you know, Christian attitude and everything else. I mean, I think it's great that you help people and all of this stuff, but tell everyone how you are privately. That's what counts. So they're negotiating a minimum wage proposal that would ultimately take, they're trying to go up to what they think they were demanding, 15. Joe Manchin, when he was asked about it, said that he thought it was like pushing it up to 11. You're artificially inflating a wage for an industry that the market entirely decides the standards for. And that's going, you're actually going to price out poorer people, and you're, because the costs are going to be traded on towards customers. And did you see what a lot of businesses are doing? I read a story yesterday about how the very first digital Taco Bell opened up in Times Square. Everything's digital. There's absolutely no human interaction at all whatsoever. You don't even see people when you pick up your food. That's kind of weird though, isn't it? Isn't that a little weird? Like, you don't even see anybody when you pick up your food. Like, how do you know for sure it's not a Ratatouille kind of thing and there aren't rats back in the kitchen making your stuff for you? You know, I just wonder. Egypt impounds the ship that blocked the Suez Canal, and they're demanding $900 million for the traffic jam. That's what they say was apparently what was cost when that ship was blocking the canal. That's crazy. Coming up, Matt Schlapp and going after woke corporations. Stick with us.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
We learned in the case of Georgia, for all of the emotions, Georgia's new law is less restrictive than the election laws of Delaware and New York and other blue states. So if a company wants to weigh in and put its brand on the line, get the facts right and weigh in saying this particular thing we don't think is right or is wrong. But don't do these broadsides until you get the particulars of each case.
Yeah, well, and that seems like good advice, you know, for all of these woke corporations. This is where, and welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. This is a very very difficult discussion to have, because as conservatives, we always respect private business, right? We always want to respect private business. We always want to respect natural rights. We always respect freedom. That's what makes us not statist. And I've always said, like, this whole thing needs to be viewed as the war between statism and freedom. That's how it needs to be viewed. You can't even almost look at it like Democrat and Republican anymore. It's statism or freedom. But at the same time, I see all of these corporations, and some of my friends have made really good arguments that also, we need to be aware that we can't just expect suppression and tyranny from the government. I mean, you can be suppressed by corporations as well without sounding like a leftist, especially when these corporations are acting as agents of this Marxist ideology that is infecting every single aspect of American society, from school now to commerce. I mean, for the love, we went through this Georgia law. And none of these companies are pulling any of their business interests really out of Georgia. But this woke corporatism, why can't you, like Ben and Jerry's, just make some really bad ice cream, sell it and be happy, right? Delta, just fly people, for the love. We don't want to know what your thoughts are. This is like a bad episode of Portlandia, but the roles are reversed where they're telling us what they think. We didn't ask. And I feel like this is the mood of my guest, Matt Schlapp, who's the head of ACU, the chairman of ACU, American Conservative Union. They do CPAC, and he joins me now. Matt, good to see you.
Good to be with you, Dana. I can't agree with you more.
Which is why ACU came out with this new initiative. I guess that's the right word for it. It sounded like y'all got like fed up with the wokeness, the corporatism, these companies telling us how to live. Companies, for the love. And you came out, this is a campaign to get them to stop doing this. Tell me about this, because I love it.
Yeah, look, I've had a lot of experience. I'm 53 years old in what corporate America does vis-a-vis public policy and lobbying and communications policy and campaigns. And I've sat around these tables and I've listened to corporations say, getting all this heat from the left, we're getting all this heat from the left. And the advice of most of the people around those tables is, run your companies, run a really good airline, buy on time, make good soda, yeah, like you just said. And over time, that pressure from the left has really had an effect on companies that are so stupid that they actually believe the Democrats are going to run this country for the next 30 years. They don't have a very good insight into politics. And so they really have discounted, silenced, canceled 50% of America in an attempt to curry favor from Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden. And this all started this summer with Black Lives Matter, when companies saw all that destruction and they decided that was a civil rights moment to feed the violence instead of standing up against it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a great point. We're talking with Matt Schlapp of the ACU, American Conservative Union, and they're taking aim at woke corporations with a pressure campaign. And I think that's a conservative position. But this is weird too. What do you make of the crossroads that we seem to be at? Because I don't ever remember, Matt, corporations, companies being this involved in telling consumers what to think. They used to be scared of that. When did that change? Like, everybody's doing it now.
It changed because of this whole idea, these pressure campaigns, well-funded from George Soros, they set up all of these nonprofits, and they have very, very intentionally called CEOs, called corporate officers, called members of the board of directors, and encouraged them to take positions on the environment, on gay rights, gay marriage, on abortion, on you name the issue. Now, because of the Black Lives Matter crisis that we had in our country, where cops were killed and cities were burned down and basically closed, people had their private property taken from them left and right. The D.C. and New York, I just got back from New York. Dana, don't go. So depressing. D.C. is so depressing. I'm glad I don't own any businesses in either of those two cities, because I'd be belly up. But it all started by in the summer when this happened. And then every issue now, you'll notice they're going to pack the Supreme Court today. Mm. That's the announcement today. All about race. We have to pack the Supreme Court because we don't have racial equity, is the term that they use now. Every issue, the filibuster now that that the Democrats have used to great extent, now it's a Jim Crow tool.
Or Jim Eagle.
Everything is going to be pushed through race, and everything is going to be levered on corporations. And these CEOs are leading the charge through the Chamber of Commerce, the Business Roundtable, the National Association for Manufacturers. These entities that groups like ACU have partnered with for 50 years to lower taxes, to have good trade policy, to get rid of regulations, to appoint good judges. This whole coalition is busted. And if they keep doing this, we're not going to do their bidding on the economic policies that they want. We are going to look out for the little guy and the small business person if they're going to continue to do this.
That's a huge point. Talking with Matt Schlapp of ACU, that's a big point, because they do rely. They do rely on that relationship, and they do rely on people like you and on groups like ACU to go and advocate for their interests while they actually go out and advocate against the interests of the people who are part of ACU and people who go to CPAC.
That's right.
That's a great point, because this
and
is
America.
Yeah, this is economic seppuku. I which that astounds me. I don't know why they so willingly go along with this, because they have to know if they can do basic math, Matt. They have to know that this ultimately is antithetical to their whole point of being in business. It's bad for their bottom line.
Well, remember, companies used to be closely held by families, and there are still companies, large companies, that are like that. But by and large, they pick a CEO that's no longer a family member, and that CEO has a 5-year term to bump up the stock, which creates all kinds of perverse economic decisions that these firms make. These CEOs are willing to sign any ad, sign any letter, if it doesn't interfere with their big cash out plans, which have a very tight time horizon of 5 to 10 years. So they're willing to sign things to get those big payoffs. And you know what? We're not willing to give up on America for these people. And I know that a lot of them, I've had a lot of interactions with these folks. A lot of them don't believe in what they're signing. They know it's counterproductive. But it was easier to sign it. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to create pressure on the right. And I think millions of Americans are going to join us. It's not about us. Look, our name is the American Conservative Union. I don't know if I would have picked that name if I had been around when it started, but that's the name we got. So why don't we all unify behind this idea that if you want to call yourself an American corporation, you ought to make America stronger, not weaker.
Exactly. You should be about, which is where really conservative came from. You should be about conserving individual liberty and conserving resource against government excess and against government overreach. That's what it should be all about. We're talking with Matt Schlapp of ACU. And I love this statement that because you all put out a statement about this. Washington Times ran it. Corporations have taken shortcuts and disingenuously accused election reformers of voter suppression and racism. They've attacked voting rights, spread information on voting laws, which is true. And it's, I mean, I've read the legislation. I read Georgia's law. We read it verbatim. We've talked about it. I sent it out in the newsletter. I screenshotted it to people who read with pictures. And there's nothing in there that at all substantiates any of the accusations that any of the Nike and the Delta and all these other companies are making. So they're lying to people about a law. They're lying to them they think that that's a good PR move, that this is, that's the new form of business, I guess.
Yeah, because if you can make everything about racism and now what they call white supremacy, which really isn't racism, it's just any white person that has a powerful job. This whole idea that America is intrinsically racist, so we can never get out of our past.
Critical race
theory. If you put everything in that context, which is what the left is going to now do, any white person who is somewhat uncomfortable talking about these topics and pushing back will eventually be cowed into doing all kinds of terrible things. And this is what's happening around the country. And I think that, you know, once again, the Democrats had to, I never use the word steal, but the Democrats had to press their advantage in these big cities, Philadelphia. I was out in Las Vegas for weeks, Atlanta, all these big cities, which they dominate now. These are no longer bipartisan cities. They are run by a Democrat socialist machine. And they had to allow for no signature verification on all this 50% of mail-in ballots. And that's why they won this race, won in air quotes. If we had a similar election in 2016, Donald Trump would be in the White House. This is a fact. Yeah. In states like Georgia and in Nevada, signature verification alone would have switched the outcome in those states. And the same thing would have been true in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. And I'm sure I would find out more of that in the other states if I had had the time to spend in those states as well. So that's what we know. So you know what happens when that's the fact and you won an election, Dana? Mm-hmm. You've got to keep that going. And that's what HR1's all about.
Yep.
That's what pushing back on the law in Georgia is all about. It's about one simple thing, voting without ID or verification, because the left will beg, borrow, and steal to jam those ballots into these boxes. And once they're in these boxes, Republican judges have demonstrated to us they do not have the cojones to intercede once that illegal ballot is in the box. So it's too late by the time you get the ballots in the boxes. And that's what Georgia is trying to remedy.
Exactly. And that's a great way to put it. We're talking with Matt Schlapp, ACU, CPAC. The everything in Georgia is just to amp everything up, to turn out, to get momentum, to get HR1, because HR1's a disaster. I mean, we've talked about that on the show. I mean, even with that, it's cementing mail-in ballots and unconstitutionally removing from states their ability to just maintain their own voter rolls and run their own elections. I mean, there's a reason why it was constitutionally enshrined in that manner in the first place. There are a lot of scary things. We were talking about this morning. You mentioned the court packing, which absolutely is when you're stuffing it with your ideology and trying to nullify what Trump did with his judicial agenda for the latter half of his term, and saying that, you know, filling vacant seats during a completely legal period when it was to do so within your authority as president, that's not stealing a seat. It's not. That's by itself is not packing the court. I see this. I see HR1. I see the pressure on these companies. I hear the whole critical race theory, which is a Marxist ideology. This is Marxism is in America. And every headline I have on the show is related to it. What position, Matt, being that you are at American Conservative Union, you do every year CPAC, you see thousands and thousands of conservatives. You talk to lawmakers, you talk to voters. Where are conservatives at in pushing back on this ideology that it seems like it's taken over the country?
Look, once again, I agree with everything you just said. And thank you for always being at CPAC and for being with us in Florida. We're hoping to come to Texas, so it's going to be something very important for you.
We'll take
that's
you
your home.
For brisket.
When we couldn't say Black Lives Matter in the summer, and I had everyone chastising me when I was saying it, they're like, they will cancel you. And they did. I mean, our world got upended over the fact that I never criticized Black Lives Matter, even on race. I criticized them on saying that America was a crappy place,
right,
that it's institutionally racist, that it was, I told them it was wrong for them to desecrate Jewish cemeteries and statues of Jesus and Mary and burning down churches. How many churches burned down during all that? I never even talked about race. Even defending your own faith in the face of that violence over the summer, that was cancelable. So when you say it's Marxism, one of the reasons why that's completely right is the propaganda arm that goes with all of this. Black Lives Matter. Mitt Romney marched with Black Lives Matter while they were burning down our cities. And the National Press act like he did something great. You know what I bet Mitt Romney will probably do next? He'll probably have fundraisers in all three of those million-dollar houses that Black Lives Matter founder had. If we can't call things what they are, then we will not be able to win politically. And if we can't call out this Marxism for its anti-Americanism, we will not win these fights against the left. So you're right to call it out.
Oh, goodness. We have a battle on our hands. ACU, Matt Schlapp, always so good to see you, my friend. I really do hope y'all come to Texas. We'd love to have you here. We'll do brisket. We'll take you to get cowboy boots. I mean, you got to get cowboy boots and you come to Texas. So they wouldn't let me buy a house until I had boots.
I never have enough brisket.
There you go, right there. We'll do that. We'll get brisket. Matt Schlapp, always good to see you. Thanks so much. Thanks for your fight.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
We have more to come, folks, as we get moving on. We'll talk to James O'Keefe about the media malpractice and also coming up some of Biden's appointments. The deputy AG for civil rights. You want to talk about critical race theory? Wait until you hear what this nominee has had to say. Whew, in charge of civil rights. Can you imagine?
Follow Dana on Twitter at D Lash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So I have some additions to the Florida Man that I have for today. This is from Local 10. A Florida inmate shoved a cell phone up his butt and escaped hospital through the ceiling. It's a real, so you don't believe me? It's a real actual physical story. A Florida inmate who's being held on a slew of charges at the Miami-Dade County Pretrial Detention Center is now facing an escape charge after he shoved a cell phone up his butt and then tried to escape from Jackson Memorial Hospital, according to authorities. According to his arrest report, Israel Granada, 32, of Medley, was taken to the hospital after the cell phone incident, which is what they're referring to it as, the cell phone incident. And he was given medication to stimulate a bowel movement. So then he used the bathroom as a corrections officer waited outside, and they were right outside the door. The officer called out to Granda by his name a short time later, got no response. Then the officer opened the bathroom door, discovered that clever Granda had escaped through the ceiling. He was found a short time later on the first floor of the north garage. He was escorted back to his hospital room. I don't know if the phone came out. That was actually irresponsibly never said. I mean, they gave him, what do they give you when you're, what is it when they're trying to get you to have a bowel movement? What is that called? What do they give it? What do they give you?
I don't know.
What's the medication they give you?
Is a laxative?
Yes, thank you. Okay. Correct. I couldn't think of the name of it. A laxative. So they gave him a laxative and he really didn't want to be in there. No, I was just curious. Was it a Nokia? Was it a flip phone? I hope it wasn't like a, 12 Pro Plus or something. That would be horrible. We have more to come. Don't go anywhere.
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct. But it was a bonehead idea.
That's old-timey Joe Biden, who...
Wait, isn't today's Biden old-timey Biden?
Yeah, but that's like... days of yore, Biden. That's the official time. And he really hated the court packing. That's when he hated it. Now it's totally okay. But, back then it was bad. I'm just amazed. There's always a video. Remember how they would say with Trump, there's always a tweet. There's always a video. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to the newsletter. You got some prep coming your way, and then I got a rundown for an explainer for Court Packin. I guess they really aren't, they don't care, I guess, very much about Ruth Bader Ginsburg's last request. Don't pack the court. No, she didn't want the Supreme Court packed, and I guess they don't care. Remember how that was a big deal? They go, well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was saying she hoped her seat wasn't filled. That's not how this works. Not how it works. She's an unelected official. It doesn't work this way. The president and the Senate can advise and consent, and the president can nominate, choose someone, put them forward. Mm-mm-mm. So, oh man, where do I want to? I've got so much here in front of me. We're going to talk with James O'Keefe about media stuff here coming up, particularly. This is CNN. Talk to them. Talk about them. We're going to just talk Mad Tea. And I saw this. So the Pfizer CEO says people will likely need a third dose within 12 months to get fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
What?
No thanks.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What are the side effects for that? Like, have they, you know how they have those commercials? Where they go, the side effects include total unhappiness. You could just probably die. You'll probably die horribly. Horrible, horrible death. And just like all kinds of stuff. Like you spontaneously burst into flames. You know, like where's
the patient?
Diarrhea. And then you're like, maybe I don't want to take that medication. And then all the people look happy because they're not, I guess, dealing with the side effects. I don't know. So, yeah. Third vax. I want to play this audio soundbite for you, though. This is UN Ambassador Linda Thomas Greenfield, audio soundbite 17. And she's telling the National Action Network, a.k.a. NAN, that's Al Sharpton's group. I can't believe we're treating this like a legitimate, non-ridiculous group. I mean, just a refresher. He was wearing velour tracksuits before Juicy Couture made them popular with socialites and housewives in the late 90s and early aughts. Okay? So let's just, you know, keep that in mind. That was Sharpton fashion. So you have UN Ambassador Linda Thomas Greenfield. And was it a Zoom thing? It was a digital thing. So she's addressing NAN's thing. And this is what she had to say. Listen for the critical race theory in this.
I grew up in the segregated South. I was bused to a segregated school. On weekends, the Klan burned crosses on lawns in our neighborhood. I shared these stories and others to acknowledge on the international stage that I have personally experienced one of America's greatest imperfections. I've seen for myself how the original sin of slavery weaved white supremacy into our founding documents and principles.
That's critical race theory. And that's what she's talking about with that. Critical race theory is the idea that the country is so systemically flawed that it has to be completely deconstructed and rebuilt. That's what this is all about. And a friend of mine reminded me of Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who was a former UN ambassador. And he passed away a number of years ago. He was in the Senate and from Oklahoma. And I loved the quote. One of my favorite quotes is from him. And he said, it's past time that we cease to apologize for an imperfect democracy. Find its equal. That obliterates critical race theory. Find its equal in this world. Find any country in the United States that affords its citizenry, not affords it, but that recognizes the unalienable rights of citizens. Find another country on this globe where people have such participation in the governance of their day-to-day lives. Find one. That's such a great, it's such a perfect, great quote. And that's the whole point of it. That's what critical race theory seeks to destroy. But find its equal. Find the United States is equal. No society is perfect. No country is perfect because no person, there's only one. No person is perfect. Find its equal. For all the complaining, find its equal. That should be your response every time. Anytime you hear people complaining about all the flaws of the country, yeah, that's great. Find its equal. What other countries have taken such measures to rectify wrongs on this globe like the United States? Nobody. No other country. Find this country's equal. That should be the mantra. When you hear people bring up critical race theory, when you hear people talk about how flawed this country is and how, you know, you have Mayor Pete Buttigieg who gets out there and says, well, the infrastructure is literally racist and there's literally racism built in our highways, blah, blah, blah. First off, we could sit here and talk about Democrat policies, but for all of the discussion of this country's flaws, find its equal. That's the point. Find its equal. There's none better. None better out there. But all of this is moving towards that big grand goal where they really just want to, again, it's all about redefining, redeclaring what, remaking, reshaping the country. Remember how I said that I do think, I mean, we're in a period of civil war. It's a period of revolution, rather, that's leading up to like what we had with the War of Independence. We are in an American Revolution where you have two sides that are, it's Revolution 2.0. Now, whether or not it ends up horrifically where you have people actually going up against each other, I hope to heavens that it never does. But we are in this, the American Revolution was the battle of ideas that predated the War for Independence. The revolution was the fight, the narrative fight. The revolution was the debate. It was the argument. It was the shouting in the public square. That was the revolution. I mean, I was watching these lawmakers speak during this press conference. Don't think for one second that Nancy Pelosi hadn't sanctioned it. Don't think for one second. There's two things to realize here. Yes, she is having a complete and total war within her party. Isn't there this book out that talks about how she was mocking the squad as they were coming into Congress after they were elected? She was threatened by the power of others. Very much so. She was threatened by the power of others. And just because she's an older lady doesn't mean she's not catty. I've met older ladies in certain organizations before that have been some of the cattiest people you'd ever meet. But she still controls that calendar. And so I don't think that all these lawmakers, you would not have had, you know, the lawmakers that you did, especially if Schumer hadn't also sanctioned it. They are playing both sides because it's protecting them and giving them the benefit of the doubt. They can say, well, we're not for that, but we are interested and we are looking forward to seeing what the Commission on Court Packing finds. It's like this Overton window play. This was the most extreme, but ultimately the goal. It's like a Mott Bailey kind of thing. They'll go full out with something that's really indefensible, and then after they scare the hell out of you, then they'll retract it back to where you're still startled, but at least it's not that. They expand they wear down your expectation. They wear down what you will and will not accept by going full on crazy. And then they gain ground because they only retract it back so far. And then they'll go full on crazy again. And then they'll retract it back a little bit less further back. And then they keep going until they got all the ground. And the craziest thing is now a law. That's what they're doing with this. And so she says that she doesn't support that. She really does. They all do. The moderate Democrat Party is gone. It's gone. And the only people there, I don't agree with Joe Manchin on a lot of things, but there's not too many of the Joe Manchin types at all left to even kind of hold some of that back and withhold a vote. The only thing that is protecting Americans from total Marxist tyranny right now is the fact that Democrats don't have the numbers that they need to get do anything without getting some Republicans to join them. And Manchin has already said that he's not going to go online and support with filibuster, and he's not for court packing. So I'm not quite sure what, just it's a mess. And you would think that the media would cover perhaps more of it, but they're not. They're not interested in doing that. They're too busy trying to act like activists, because they are activists. And then you have this story. Remember when they were concocting the whole, this was New York Times back in June of 2020. Intelligence officials conclude that a Russian military intelligence unit secretly offered bounties to Taliban-linked militants for killing coalition forces in Afghanistan, including targeting American troops. Do you remember how many people were going after Trump on this? And then, I mean, oh my gosh, here's NBC News. White House and top NSC officials learned about intel indicating Russia was offering bounties. CNN, President Trump refuses to press Putin about Russia's alleged involvement in bounties to kill U.S. troops in Afghanistan. New York Times, Russia secretly offered Afghan militants bounties to kill U.S. troops, intelligence says. Even Brian Stelter. Oh my gosh, and then here is the news story. The U.S. intel walks back claims that Russians put bounties on American troops. That was just nothing more than the media trying to affect the outcome of an election. We're going to talk more about this with James O'Keefe coming up, because he's got CNN dead to rights here with this video. I wonder if this tech is still going to have a job, because you're it's totally fine to believe that, but it's not fine for other people to know that you believe that. Whew.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Hawaii's train to nowhere rakes in the taxpayer cash. So I don't even know why they have a rail system in Honolulu, but okay. This was, coronavirus spending spree, the $2 trillion, blah, blah, blah. Okay, $70 million is going to Hawaii to bail out a struggling 20-mile railway that's been under construction for a decade. It was supposed to open a year ago, says Washington Times. Hasn't carried a single passenger. And despite the federal help with the $70 million, it's still going to be a few billion in debt. James O'Keefe up next.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
COVID, gangbusters with Raiders. COVID, gangbusters with Raiders, right? Which is why we constantly have a death toll on the side. Let's make it higher. Like, why isn't it high enough, you know, today? Like, it would make our point better if it was higher.
It's fear. Like, fear really drives numbers. Fear is the thing that keeps you tuned in.
If it bleeds, it leads. Yeah.
If it bleeds, it leads?
Yeah. No one ever says that.
Golly. Charlie Chester, he sounds like a serial character, but he's actually a technical director over at CNN. He's one of the inside guys over at CNN. And that's video of him undercover in Project Veritas's latest expose, where they catch this guy. I like it because they catfished him, first off. I like that. And the guy comes and he just runs his mouth. Charlie Chester starts running his mouth and telling everyone really what the ultimate editorial goal was over at CNN during, you know, all throughout the election and leading up to it. and you can see this over at Project Veritas. My friend James O'Keefe, who is the founder and heads up Project Veritas, joins me. James, as always, good to see you. This is, I mean, it's stunning how, I guess, brazen they are that they would, he would think that he's meeting a complete stranger, and he just is so confident in his own bias and so confident in that no one would ever hold media accountable for misrepresenting anything to the American public. They're beyond reproach. And I guess he feels a lot of security and confidence from that. So he was just willing to tell everybody the network's trade secrets. Good job on this video, by the way. Tell me about this, because my favorite part is always when you confront them.
Yeah, yeah, Dana, that was, some people are comparing that to, like, Catch a Predator, Chris Hansen.
It wasn't like that, yeah.
And, you know, he was expecting the undercover person to show up. I showed up. And, you know, Project Veritas is all about truth. We're about, you know, getting to the bottom of what's going on. And journalism should be about exposing the truth. CNN, you know, in these tapes, it's like as if we hired a person to say all the things we suspected of saying. This is an actual director in the network. And he's on tape saying things like they're trying to put things in people's mouths. They don't let people go on the air unless they take the bait. He says it's propaganda. He said Jeff Zucker calls all the shots, tells them to put the COVID numbers on the screen. More people should die so we have better ratings. He feels bad about it, but he's also participating in it. So this guy kind of is a villain. He's not just an innocent guy stuck right in a bad place. He's contributing to the problem. He says, quote, fear sells. Yes. So, you know, this is the problem with journalism. This is not journalism. And because the tech companies prefer CNN and its algorithms, they have tremendous power to spread this gossip, this opinion, this, he calls it, quote, speculation, what they're reporting. And I mean, it's just so devastating, Dana. The implications for society with what this man is saying is just, it sort of transcends everything that's happening in the world because of the power that CNN, the New York Times, Google, Facebook, and Twitter, they all work together to spread this narrative, which this man says, hey, it's all propaganda, it's all speculation.
Wow, unbelievable. We're talking with James O'Keefe and the latest, Project Veritas's latest expose of CNN and their editorial approaches with this technical director who, I mean, this is a guy that in his way, when he's on the set and he's in the control room, he's calling the shots and he says, you know, everything goes by Jeff Zucker, which I believe to be true. I remember, you know, the town hall at Parkland and being backstage, I guess it was an arena. Jeff Zucker was going to everybody, shaking hands, glad handing, like he was on the red carpet at the Emmys. It was one of the wildest things I've ever seen. And then I watched him as he talked to camera people, which I thought was really odd. And this just kind of goes in line with everything that I saw. And even when I was there as a contributor, this kind of just dovetails in with everything that I saw. And I'm totally not surprised at this. And, you know, and I think with this too, when they talk about the stunning thing was he was talking about putting the death toll, the fatality numbers, the ticker in the lower third, that's a fear tactic. I mean, that's not news. That is fear. And you would think, James, that at the very least, considering how sensitive everybody has been about the pandemic and the lives lost, that there would at least be from the left some kind of like that wasn't good, man. Maybe you shouldn't have done that. That's what I find also outrageous about this.
Well, you know, he does sort of say he feels bad about the fact that he's saying I should. He says I shouldn't be doing this.
But he did.
So there is kind of I wouldn't say it's atonement, but it's almost like he knows it's wrong, but he thinks it's justified because, right, quote, fear sells. He says this is the quiet part people usually don't say out loud. Again, it's as if it's like a Babylon Bee, you know, spoof of what a CNN. No, this is real. This is nonfiction, folks. This is a real person, a director at CNN. And perhaps the most remarkable thing is, Dana, Jeff Zucker has put out a directive telling people not to say a peep about this. Now, I, Veritas means truth. I run from nothing. I hide from nothing. I never plead the Fifth Amendment. And I engage with people who talk to me. I've called Oliver Darcy. He hung up the phone. Oh. Brian Stelter, completely quiet. Jeff Zucker, putting out an order telling no one to say anything. Matt Dornick, the communications person at CNN. CNN is unable to defend what this man is saying. And they're running away from what this person, they're not defending it. They can't defend it. So their silence, this cone of silence, this Soviet-like quietness after this has been exposed, it speaks volumes. It means that they can't defend it, but they know that they can't announce that they're firing the person because that would just blow the story up. So it's very interesting to me that this story, they have not said a single word about. It's almost unprecedented for a story of this to be so big, and yet they won't say a word about it. Dana, I don't think that's sustainable. I think at some point they're going to have to address this.
Yeah, I think they. I think you're right. I think they absolutely have to, because it's too bad, and too many people are asking questions, and I think the number of questions are only, you know, they're piling up. We're speaking with James O'Keefe, Project Veritas. I don't think this guy's going to lose his job for this. Or he might get promoted. Who knows? What do you think?
I think that's a very interesting question. I think he implicate. If they were to fire, it's a really interesting thing. If they fire him, okay, he's speaking the truth about the network. So it would be such a damning indictment against themselves. If they don't fire him, they're saying we authorize and approve of what he has said. So I think they're caught in a really, they're caught between a rock and a hard place. Which is the worst option for them? Worse to fire them for them, because it would draw more publicity to the story. So they're going to take the hit, as it were, and maybe keep this man on staff. The third thing that might happen here, Dana, is they might fire him quietly. We've seen this happen with Nick Dudick at the New York Times. Mm-hmm. We saw it with Steve Brusk at CNN, all of which were also, quote-unquote, catfished by Project Veritas investigative reporters. Those individuals were fired, one by Dean Baquet. It was done quietly. Nobody reported it until months later. So there could be this guy could be fired on Friday night. He could be fired a week from now. Also I want to say on your show that we do intend to sue CNN for defamation. We've sued the New York Times for defamation, and we've won at the New York Supreme Court on motion to dismiss. So we're going to be launching lawsuits against CNN. It's time to sue these people. Mm-hmm. They lie. They lie without any accountability. We get past motion to dismiss and a defamation action. We can depose them under oath and videotape discovery. That's what we need to do. We need to use the courts to hold them accountable. No one has the balls to do it because people are afraid. They don't have the money. Project Veritas will take on that crusade. Veritas tips at protonmail.com is where people can go to, if you're a plaintiff, if you're someone who has been defamed by the New York Times, I want to talk to you.
I think that's I hope that you get people reaching out to you with that. And you actually went into right what I was going to ask you about, because that the defamation suit, the Anna Cabrera was the reporter or propagandist, however you want to put it. And she was saying a lot of things that weren't actually accurate. She lied about what was happening, and that you and were saying things like you guys were taken down, or some of this information was taken down, which and was just completely misrepresented, not just what you were doing, but also the scope of what you were doing. And this was actually just, when was this? This was this week that she had said this. Tell me, because how did you watch her? How did you come by that information? As for when Cabrera was saying this about you and saying this about the expose that Project Veritas was doing.
That was this is a statement made by Cabrera a month or two ago. It was regarding our Twitter being taken down by Twitter, by Project Veritas Twitter That's account was right. taken down by Jack Dorsey. And the issue was we were taken down for quote-unquote privacy violation.
And she was saying that it was because you all were spreading misinformation, and that's what ultimately did it. And that is because defamation.
It is, and we because she tweeted something out prior, we have the facts that show that she potentially knew what she was reporting was wrong, or she had reason to know. So she acted in, quote, reckless disregard of the truth, and that's the standard to get past motion to dismiss in a defamation lawsuit. I have to prove that the reporter was recklessly disregarding the truth. So we have that evidence from Cabrera. And, once we get past this stage of the lawsuit, we can conduct videotaped depositions under oath of CNN employees. Your audience listening right now, how much would you pay per view to see Brian Stelter in an under oath videotaped deposition across a table from me? Well, guess what, folks? That's exactly what's going to happen when we sue CNN, and no one's ever done this in American history.
I guess it's
because people are afraid. They don't want to spend the money. It costs a lot of money to sue people. But I will gladly take on that fight. And I'm going to be deposing Dean Baquet, executive editor of the New York Times, Maggie Astor. These are New York Times reporters who lied about me and said I was a disinformation person who was deceptive. Well, a Supreme Court judge, Dana, a few weeks ago in New York State, of all places, said it was the New York Times that was engaging in disinformation and deception by labeling that. And the New York Times defense in court was, well, we were just expressing our opinion. And the judge was having none of it. The judge said, well, you shouldn't have put your opinion in a news article and made people believe that it was fact. And this is what these people do. They say this stuff, they just make stuff up or they opine about things. And then it gets recirculated and it becomes news. And then and all of a sudden it's on your Wikipedia page. Google is, you know, using it to take your stuff down. And nobody fights back. Nobody fights back. Well, guess what? There are us fighting back. A lot of these people. And it's time more people super defamation, in my opinion. And that's what we're doing. And we're gonna win. We're gonna win.
How can people help besides send tips?
Well, you know, we're a charitable organization. We're a nonprofit. We don't have advertisers. We, you know, so donate is one way. Number two is to send us tips, information.
I'm going to stop you right at the donation thing because you just made a huge point that I have been hammering for the better part of 2 months now. I'm tired of conservatives donating to think tanks and white papers. We need another think tank. Like, we need, you know, another hole in our backsides. We don't need it. We need people to fund things like this. We need people to fund things like what you do. So I hope that when people are writing checks, maybe send it to Project Veritas instead of sending it to another think tank for another stupid white paper that no one's going to care about in, you know, a week to a month. Instead, they need to fund things like this because you're doing exactly what conservatives needed to be doing for the past 20 years.
Thank you for saying that. I think people are afraid to be tip of the spear, and you don't have to be the tip of the spear yourself. You can simply contribute to the people who are. And exactly. I think people are afraid, Dana, conservatives, Republicans don't want to be tarred and feathered by people who buy ink by the barrel. They don't want to be disliked. It's a fear of being disliked by the New York Times, and they don't want to be disliked by CNN. They don't want to put themselves out there, but I'll put myself out there. And they can contribute to us. That's the most important thing, is to donate so that we can continue this. And also, you know, if you want to apply to work here to do what this female journalist did, go to our website, projectveritas.com. We're taking applications for journalists. We'll train you. And those are all ways you can involve. Even if you can donate $10 or $100, everyone can afford that. We're tax-deductible nonprofit organization. So that's how you can get involved.
Amen to that. James O'Keefe, always so good to see you. And congrats. This is a great story. You do such great work, work that really, you know, more conservatives need to be doing. And if they can't do it, then they need to support it financially. So I'm going to donate to y'all, and I hope that other people do as well. And we'll put that out in the newsletter too. James, good to see you, my friend.
Thank you.
Of course.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
So make sure you go subscribe to that newsletter. I'll be on Hannity tonight. I'm not quite sure when, at what point in the hour, but I will put that on the official Dana Lash page on Facebook. Today in Stupidity Came.
Well, we all know that China is the largest polluter on this planet known as Earth. And John Kerry, who's the climate czar, he's interested in getting China talking about climate change.
We are talking with China about talking, and we need, obviously, to have China at the table in order to be able to resolve this challenge. China is about 28-30% of the emissions.
Yeah, try more like 50%. But good luck talking about getting China to talk about their role in
climate change. Because it's not going to happen.
Climate change.
It's never going to happen. Ever.
So stupid.
No, it's not. Folks, tomorrow's Friday. We made it through the week. Woo! Tomorrow, Jack Carr will join us because he's got a new series coming out on Amazon starring Chris Pratt. He's got a new book that's out. We're going to talk to him about all kinds of stuff. So you don't want to miss that. And I got some hate we're going to make some money off of because people hate when I do that, and I love their hate. And we're going to turn a bad, turn something mean into a positive.
Love
there
Trump's
you go.
Hate.
Yeah, love it. So make sure you tune in for that. Don't forget, sign up for that newsletter, chapter and verse, danalash.com, right up at the top where it says subscribe. I'll be back with you tomorrow.